Welcome to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. We're talking hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, climbing, diving, and whatever else you can get up to outdoors. Here's your host of the VOCM Outdoor Hour, Leslie Ann Corrigan.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan and I'm thrilled to be your guide for these weekly adventures. So far on the Outdoor Hour, we've talked about ice fishing, snowboarding, and polar travel. If you've missed any episodes, you can catch up anytime on VOCM.com. And we'd love to hear what you think. Send us your opinions and ideas for shows or guests to our email. It's outdoorhour@VOCM.com. I am so looking forward to the next hour because we are going rabbit hunting. I'm joined in studio with Mike Legg, who is on the pro staff for Stoker Canada. He's also an avid hunter and angler and spends a lot of time training his beagle. And I'd say it's safe to say, Mike, that rabbit hunting is high up on your list of favorite pastimes.
Yeah, it's one of the top three for sure.
Excellent. Well, you're certainly not alone there because I think rabbit hunting is the unofficial pastime of all of Newfoundland and Labrador, I'd say. So many people do enjoy it. I've got two more such fellows here who I'm sure would rather be on the trail of some bunnies right now than sitting at Kenmount Road here with me. But I've got Tony and Carter Vinicum. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Tony, you say you've been hunting rabbits, moose, and other things for more than 40 years now. That's nearly all your life, I guess. You know, you must have started when you were 5 or 6.
Oh, yes. And, well, now, I started when I was about, 14.
Right.
And my dad didn't hunt, but his buddy, Jimmy Cooper, I went along with him and picked it up from him. I used to chase him around, something like Carter done with me. And when I came of age, 16, to get the gun, I shot my first rabbit, and the rest is history.
That's it. You've been hooked ever since. So speaking of starting young, like we mentioned, Tony's grandson Carter is here. He is in the middle of his second season of shooting, but he's been hunting longer than that, thanks to the new age requirements that came into effect last year, though. Younger kids age 12 and up are able to hunt now for small game, and 16 and up for big game. So Carter, thanks so much for joining us. How old are you?
I'm 13.
You're 13. So when you were younger, you used to go out hunting with your pop and stuff. How old were you when you really first started at this?
Well, I was about 5 when I started going with him, and it was a really fun experience, and now that I get to carry my own gun, it's crazy.
So you enjoy it more than Fortnite and stuff
like
that?
Yeah.
So how often do you get to go?
I usually go every time they go.
Okay.
But like sometimes if it's a bit too cold, I can't go. But.
Right, yeah. No, absolutely. And you do have to dress for it and stuff like that. So I guess when Christmas time comes, you're asking for hunting gear and stuff like that so that you can take part as much as you can. Tony?
Yeah, when it comes to the cold, like when you're rabbit hunting, you got to stand in one spot, as Mike knows, for sometimes a long time. It could be an hour or more not moving. The dogs are going all around you. You're just looking for that rabbit. Mm-hmm. And when you're stood there and it's cold, for Carter, your feet get cold and you get a chill and you don't want them cold, so your day might end early. So sometimes, like, and we find it cold too, and when it's really cold, I won't take him, but the mild days, nice days, he'll go and he'll stay for the day, and he just loves it.
Well, that's the thing, and you don't want to turn him from it, eh? You don't want to go out there and be uncomfortable, Carter, because you're not going to want to stay. You're not going to want to spend your day at it. Yeah, it's got to be enjoyable. That's why you're doing this, for sure. So when you were really young, what do you remember most about those early trips that kind of made you fall in love with it?
Well, when I was young, I used to always spot the rabbits for Pop because he couldn't see all around, so I used to just tell him where they were, like left, right, or straight ahead. And I used to love having bile-ups when I went in the woods, like a cup of tea, beans and wieners, and the pan, stuff like that.
That is my favorite part. So, Tony, when you were bringing in Carter, he was your rabbit dog, I guess, at the beginning, hey?
Oh, no doubt. And he's right what he said. Like, I'd be watching, straining in my eyes one place. He said, pop to the left. And I'd turn and bang, I'd pop off a shot. Now, when I'd shoot it, the dog wouldn't be there, and he'd be over having it in his hand, bringing it back to me. Because he knew what the dog caught. Some of the dogs will tear it up.
Tear it up a bit,
absolutely. Yeah, we'll say.
Yeah, it's good when you have a talent at something, hey? Because then you kind of want to pursue it. You want to get into it a bit more. So is it always your pop that you go hunting with?
Yeah, it's usually my pop and a couple of his buddies that usually goes.
Anyone else your own age?
Yeah, my friend Caden Sears.
He likes to go hunting.
Yeah, he likes hunting, him and his dad.
Right, so is it just rabbit hunting that you usually do? I know your pop really loves his rabbit hunting, but he does do a bit of moose hunting and stuff
too.
Yeah,
I go moose hunting a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been in the moose hunting, I can call, but I got him calling now, and I think it was 2 years ago, my brother had a license, and he actually called the bull out for him. And my brother had shot it and missed.
Oh, no.
He said, Pop, you should have farted. You should have took the gun out.
But that's it. You don't have your tags.
Yeah, like, you know, as Carter was saying, like, you know, what'd you say? Like, when you were 5 or 6, you started going in with them. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, over the years with Facebook and stuff, like, I mean, I remember, because, I mean, myself and Tony are members of various groups on Facebook in common and stuff. And, you know, Tony being active and posting lots of posts and stuff like this. And I can remember back seeing posts of Carter when he was 5 and 6, and so now you're watching them, you're watching that whole generation come up through it, right?
I know, yeah, I was the same. So we're all on these hunting and fishing groups in Newfoundland and Labrador, and yeah, I've been watching Carter take, you know, with the rabbit and stuff like that for all these years. And when your Pop posted pictures last year of your first rabbit, I actually cheered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so like, yay, Carter, because I do know that you love it. You can just see it on your face. And folks, if you follow any of these guys on social media, you'll see that too. They're big into these groups that are on, and it's a great way for you to get involved with the hunting and fishing culture.
Yeah, and my buddies, they take him under his wing too. And they give me a chance to get a shot, because when he's pinned to me, I won't shoot. I'll look for him and get him, try to give him a good shot. But now my buddies will take turns. How care do you go with me? And then they'll try to spot one for him and get him in a position to. And it worked out this year. He shot 3 this year so far.
Excellent. Any birds this year, Carter?
I shot 2 ducks.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. I hear, speaking of birds, that you won a goose hunting trip to PEI last year at the Outdoor Expo.
Yeah.
So that was with Point View Outfitters. Was that the one where you had to toss the rings?
Yeah.
So you have to be a pretty good eye for that, too. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was judging the moose calling contest, and the phone rings. Pop, I just won a trip to PEI. I said, what do you mean a trip to PEI? And I'm there, what's he getting on with goose hunting?
Oh, wow.
So
did you take your pop?
No, he never went with me.
You never took your pop after all the trips he's after taking you on, and you never took him to PEI. Now, who did you take?
I took my cousin, PJ, and PJ's dad went, and my pop's buddy, Jason.
Nice. So how old is PJ?
I think he's 23.
Okay. So he's not like a young hunter like you. So is this the youth hunter program? No, this was just you won the trip. Anyone at all could go.
Yeah.
So how did you find that? I mean, you know, it's a totally different kind of thing than what you're used to.
It was a crazy experience for me, like just seeing them calling in the geese and stuff like that, and like and just be able to fire off the gun at them.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many did you shoot?
I shot 6.
Good for you. So what then did you do with the meat? Did you take it home with you?
Yeah, we had 5 each brought home.
Excellent. And I guess, did you have goose in for Christmas?
We never had none yet.
No.
But we're gonna have some soon.
Happening soon.
Yeah, it's delicious. I know Tony's a good cook, so I can't wait to see what you come up with that, for sure. So I know, Mike, that you have a little fella as well. He's 4 years old, is that right?
Yeah, my little fella's 4. He's pretty into it. I've had him in, I mean, I can remember back to, you know, I think he was about 8 months old. I had him in one of those knapsack kid carriers from Mech, and had him on the river fishing, and same thing in the woods. Once he was old enough that, you know, he could maintain his balance and that good.
That's
enough.
Right.
Like, so when he was probably about 1.5 years, I started bringing him in, like, in the early part of the year when it's warm and stuff like that, and let him come in and watch the dog run around. Now, trying to keep him quiet and occupied so the rabbit comes around so he could see it is another thing. But
yeah, I guess in those early years, it's not about the hunting then at that point. Really.
Nah.
You know,
nah,
it's about just the exposure.
Yeah, like, I mean, I still remember the first time I took him in and he actually seen the dog come around on the rabbit, and the rabbit crossed the path. And after that, the dog and rabbit just kind of went separate ways because the young fellow took off running, trying to chase the dog and the rabbit. So, but I mean, it was experience for him to see it. Now, he always, you know, much the same as I'm sure Carter was, Tony, when he was 4 and 5, is always wants to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to explain to a 4-year-old that you can't go in the woods with dad now because there's 6 feet of snow and you're 3.5 feet tall. It's not going to work out very well.
No,
but
it don't work.
But yeah. he enjoys it. But he enjoys all aspects of it too. And I mean, I try to, you know, I don't push it on him, but I try to expose him to it just because I want him, you know, at some point make that decision for himself if that's something he wants to be into or not into. And I don't want him to feel obligated to get into it because his old man is into it, but no, he seems to have a liking for it so far. So,
well, that's the thing, and the more exposure that you have to, I know I try to get my kids out as much as possible. My dad and their dad, I'll try to get them out as much as possible. If hunting is a part of your family and your lived experience, then it's not something that, you know, you don't have to do it all the time to be a participant in it. You know, you can get out when you can and do what you can.
Rabbit hunting is a bit different, and I'm sure Tony and Carter know this too. It's both an easy sport to get kids into, but it's a hard sport to get kids into because, one, you got to be quiet. Two, you got to stand still. And three,
I find that hard, as you will vouch.
Yes. Three, it's, you know, you could go in and have a day that's, you know, lots of shooting, or you could go in and get on a stubborn old rabbit and be stood up just looking at gray jays all day or listening to squirrels.
So it takes a lot of patience, hey? How do you find that, Carter? Do you battle with your patience when you're out there?
Yeah, I battles with it a little bit, but I manage it.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about the, you know, the prize at the end of it all, hey? Yeah.
I try to keep them still, and I go, shh, shh. Carter, they're coming, Carter. Hurry, Pop. And he'll stay still for a little bit, and then all of a sudden he's cracking trees again.
Yeah, but again, it is all about the adventure, and it's about those funny stories that you do get to tell. Well, and, you know, it's so nice to hear families enjoying the outdoors together. I can't wait to talk more about this when we come back. We're going to take a short break now, but we're going to talk more with Mike Clegg, Tony and Carter Vinicombe, and me all about rabbit hunting on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
The VOCM Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Ocean Quest Adventures. Ocean Quest Adventures. Unordinary people experiencing extraordinary adventures. The Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Atlantic Recreation Limited, your platinum 5-star Yamaha dealer. Visit Atlantic Recreation Limited, 17 Corey King Drive.
Now let's get back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
And thanks for sticking around with us here on the VOCM Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan. And with me today, I've got Mike Legg and Tony Vinicombe and Carter Vinicombe. We're talking about rabbit hunting. Before the break, Carter was telling us about his recent trip to PEI for goose hunting. Carter is 13 years old and has been hunting for a long time, but only shooting since last season, thanks to our new youth hunting regulations. We can probably talk more about those youth hunting regulations and the journey to get to that point as well. But for now, Carter, tell us about how goose hunting in a farmer's field. You mentioned earlier about the calling them in and stuff like that. We were talking about how cold it is sometimes when you have the patience. It must take a lot of patience to sit in a goose blind, hey?
Yeah, when you're up goose hunting, it's pretty cold because usually hunts close to the water and it's really windy, like you're in a big old open field. But I love when you got down in the blind and like you had it over your head, and then when the geese were coming, you'd pop it up and shoot.
Right.
It was really, really fun.
Exciting, hey, when you see the big flock of geese. So I know PEI isn't on a major migratory path. You're not getting into the flocks like you do, say, out in Western Canada, but you do get a lot more geese there than you do here. Yeah, so tell us about that when they were coming in. Like, how many would you think, like, did they tell you were probably going to see?
I think the very, very first day, the most we had come in was about 10.
Right.
But on the very, very last day, there was, I think, 40 or 50.
Nice. And so they're just flying by and they just change their path, hey, and come in.
They wouldn't land though because there were so many of them.
So you got them as they were just
a lot of pass shooting.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. So how about you, Pop? He wouldn't take you to PEI, but have you ever been anywhere hunting geese or traveled to hunt and things like that?
No, not on that. Duck hunting around here, I used to do it a lot, and I kind of got out of duck hunting. But I know in PEI, they told me that he made a real great shot. All of them fired at a goose. It was hit, but it was still flying away. And the guide sang out, "Will someone shoot that bird?" And he popped up and
done and done.
Down he went. And they said they'd done a really good job.
Oh, he must take after his pop, that's for sure. So if you, Tony, were to choose, and you've been doing this a long time, if you were to choose anything that you could do in the outdoors, what would you choose? Would it be rabbit hunting?
Yeah, it's rabbit hunting.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my top. Like Mike, I got three. There's rabbit hunting, there's moose hunting, and there's salmon fishing.
The trifecta.
And the trifecta. That's
the combination there, and all my buddies are into it. So
yeah, it makes it easy when you got lots of friends who are at it too. So you've obviously passed this love for the outdoors on to Carter. Is that how you got started yourself? Do you come from a hunting family?
Well, now, like I said before, Dad didn't hunt, but Dad's buddy got me into it. Mm-hmm. And when I got into it, I got my two sons into it for a while, but they found a girlfriend, and when I...
That'll learn you, Carter.
And I'm just hoping he'll stick with me, but, and you know, it changes a little bit, and now one son still moves on with me, and Carter's dad, well, he don't... fishing, just regular fishing or ice fishing, he loves that. Mm-hmm. But Jamie, my other son, he's into the moose hunting. Done a bit of rabbit hunting with me, but I'm grateful for that. At least he'll hang on and do a bit of moose hunting with me. So, but I got him now. So.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, thankfully, the legal hunting age has dropped. So do you think that maybe that had an effect on it, where your sons came up and they couldn't hunt till they were 18? They couldn't take that next challenge,
I never thought of that, but, you know, that could have been... a good reason why, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because I know by the time you're 12 or 13, you are kind of getting into your friends become more important than your family in your social kind of context, you know?
Yes.
So maybe if you're not able to do the things that the older guys are doing when you're out there, maybe you're like, well, I'm not even going to bother this. You know, I can only just go around and carry the linny bag anyway. That kind
That's
of
right,
thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Carter? Like, if you were, if do you think, like, when you get 14, 15, if you weren't able to shoot, would you be as interested in it, as excited about it?
I'd still be interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, I love hunting anyway, so if I wasn't able to shoot, I'd still go.
It's in ya.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you set any slips? Like,
no, I don't really set snares. I never ever did it. I just stick to the shooting.
More about the shooting. That's the way my dad is. Yeah, I'd much rather go hunting. So you must have been glad, though, when they did drop the legal hunting age last year so you could share this whole experience with Carter and his cousins and friends and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah, so definitely. And now we're going to breed the dog this year. Carter owns one of my dogs, Sally. Bless his dog. She's 2.5 now, so we're going to get another dog. The older one is, she's about 11 now, so it's time for another one. Buddy wants a dog, a couple of buddies, so we're going to breed my dog now, and Carter's going to pick another dog, and then he's got to train that, so maybe that'll keep him going a little longer.
It definitely will, yeah, yeah. You'll have your best hunting buddy. You think your pop is your good hunting buddy? This new dog is definitely going to be the one, I think, for sure. So, Tony, in 40 years of hunting, you must have had an awful lot of adventures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you
any
would
in
not
particular?
Believe it.
I probably wouldn't. I know I've heard a few stories over the years.
We used to go up in the mornings sometimes. We'd be up in the woods at 5:30 in the morning with a frying pan on, cooking bacon and eggs with dogs tied on, waiting to go hunting.
Right.
We'd had to walk about probably 45 minutes to an hour to get to the spot, and we'd have a big feed before we even go hunting. I mean, that's one of the things we used to do. But, oh, my God. And the people that I went through, like, the different hunting buddies, like, you'd knock around with someone for a while, and then you'd move on, find someone else, and then they'd go hunting with you for a while, and you'd be tangled up with their family. And in 40 years, I'm going to have to go through about, I say, about four sets of dogs, because usually around 10 years for your dogs, and then you'll get another 10, and then you'll get another 10. So about, not really a lot, it's only four sets of dogs, and I'm 60-year-old now, you know. And now we're going now another set, so I'm going to try to get up to the 70 mark, I guess.
Yes, keep it going as long as you can.
Yeah, and another thing, too, we like myself and Gord Follett from The Sportsman, and Johnny Dyke, we do an annual trip every year out to the bus out in Northwest Gander.
How long have you been doing that?
Last 4 or 5 years, and we have an absolute ball. It's not just, you know, shooting rabbits. It's not all about shooting rabbits. Like, watching the dogs work. Like, when the rabbit makes a move and tricks him, and watching, you're going to see which dog picks it up, and you're watching your young dog going, and then all of a sudden you see him picking up the trail, she'll start barking, and the other dogs will run to that dog, you know. It's just great.
Yeah, it's better than any video game, really.
Oh, yeah. It tells him, stay clear of their videos and come with me.
That's right. I've got your real-life video game here, that's for sure.
So, Tony, now, over to, say, you know, we'll be... keep it at, say, 40 years here of hunting. You've basically kept the same bloodline of dogs, or have you branched out much?
Never branched out much. I'm kind of connected to the same bloodline.
Yeah.
And they're, like, you know, a long ways behind now, but the dog I got now is going back about two generations.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you've kept pretty tight bloodline.
Yeah, the first 20 years, I kind of never kept on it, but the last 20 years I got probably the same bloodline, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep that now going, right?
Because it suits your hunting style, the particular traits in that bloodline.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of hunters out there. A lot of people got really good dogs. I mean, I've had some excellent dogs. I had one dog, Old Blue, I call her, that when I shot a rabbit, if she got to it first, she'll bring it right over to me. Mm-hmm. Every time she'll bring the rabbit back to me. I got dogs now that'll take it and they'll bury it. Bury the rabbit. Or they'll just roam it. And I got one dog now. His dog, Sally. He shot one there a few weeks ago. He shot at the rabbit. He struck it. And Sally caught it, but she won't bite him. She's just lying on him. And rabbit was squealing. And I said, she got that. And Carter, so Carter ran over. She just laid on the rabbit. And I just had to haul the rabbit out from underneath her. But I got another dog. Oh, no, there's no line on it. I just jump into the ribs.
I got two like that.
It's over.
After you shoot it, you basically lay the gun down and take off and just nosedive into the bushes. Because
if you
don't get it before heat. And, I mean, you know, they're not, you know, I guess they won't destroy it. They'll just bite it a lot. Because, I mean, you know, in some cases, they might have spent the last 3 hours chasing it. So,
yeah. Deserving.
Yeah.
What do they get out of it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So any particular stories come to mind about a particular trip, Tony, that you want to kind of share with us today? A funny story. I know that I have heard lots of funny stories from you.
I can't think of any right now for funniness.
Right.
You know?
Now,
I remember a good picture you posted a couple of years ago there of a spruce tree you put a good hole in.
Oh, yeah, that happened a good many times.
Yeah, I think that happens to all of us at some point. Yeah. You'll get a rabbit crossing. And of course, you can see it, you know, but you're trying to gauge how much lead you got on the rabbit and when you pull the trigger. And for some reason, as soon as you pull the trigger, somebody got away of putting a spruce tree there that wasn't there half a second ago.
I would up and say, how did I miss that? And I go over and look around and I see the big hole.
You know, I've only been rabbit. I used to go with my dad a fair bit, and I've been with Mike a couple of times and another buddy a couple of times. So I haven't been very often. And full disclosure, I don't shoot myself, folks, so I'm learning right along with you. But I like to go. I'm like Carter when he was younger. I do like to just go. I'd go any day of the week. But I can't even see the rabbits, so I don't know how you shoot them.
I got up. My buddy, Dwayne Earl, hunted with me. He had one of my dogs gone, and he moved to Ontario. So he's out of it now, kind of. And I was trying to catch a rabbit. He got me good. There's no one got me as good. And I put a cage out, put apples in it. I said, I'm going to get a live rabbit, put it down for the pup, let it go, and train the pup quicker. Mm-hmm. So I told Dwayne, I said, I would put up at your house because he's out in the woods. And so I get it all set up. And next day, we're going hunting. So what he's done previous, he went into Walmart or somewhere with his wife, and he got this white rabbit. Stuff white rabbit. He paid $20 for it. She said, Dwayne, what are you doing with that? He said, hold on, he said. Tony got that trap set. I got a surprise for him. So he put the little rabbit in the cage, back onto me. I goes down to check because he's getting out the gun and the gear, getting ready, and he's trying to hold it in, I guess. I'm running down, and there's tracks all around. I said, tracks all around. Dwayne, I got one. I got one, Dwayne. I got a rabbit. And he's there buckled over laughing. And I looks at him. You dirty.
I hope you never let that little poor rabbit go, did you, Tony? You brought him back to the pet store.
I hauled it out.
Yeah, was it live or stuffed?
It was
stuffed.
Little stuffed.
It was stuffed.
I thought it was
wasn't a real rabbit. It was a stuffed rabbit. And he sat it up in the cage. And I thought it was a rabbit. I said, thank you, my buddy. Thank you. I'll get you back.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're just going to be right back very shortly, folks, for more stories about rabbit hunting with our friends Tony and Carter Vinicum and Mike Legg. Stick around. It's the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
The VOCM Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Ocean Quest Adventures. Ocean Quest Adventures. Unordinary people experiencing extraordinary adventures. The Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Atlantic Recreation Limited, your platinum 5-star Yamaha dealer. Visit Atlantic Recreation Limited, 17 Cory King Drive.
Now let's get back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
And welcome back to the second half of the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we're talking rabbit hunting today with a few pros. We've got Carter Vinicum and Tony Vinicum and Mike Legg. I mentioned before the break that we'd get into a discussion about training rabbit dogs, but I think we were all having a great laugh before we broke off. And I know that while we were on break, Mike started to tell a funny story. So, Mike, you have to tell this to our listeners.
Yeah, so just when you asked Tony, it kind of, for some reason, was the first story popped in my head. Anyway, me and a couple buddies were in, it was probably, had to be 15 years ago maybe, And of course, dog was coming around on a rabbit, and there was three of us in at the time. Heard a shot, then I heard him yelling. So I figured he got the rabbit and was calling the dog over to smell the rabbit, which, you know, normally you do, so that way then the dog will move on to a new fresh scent. Kept hearing him yelling out. So I said, well, I got to go over, because I said maybe he hurt himself or something. So when I went over, come around the bottom of the ridge there, the little ridge we were hunting, and when I broke out, I see the poor fellas there with one hand trying to haul his pants up and one hand with the rabbit in it, and the dog's trying to climb him. And so here he was in the midst of
nature's call.
He had a rabbit cross in front of him, so he managed to get a shot with his trousers down around his ankles.
So are you that serious, guy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, you don't get that rabbit, it could be another 2 hours before you see it. So your gun always got to be next to you whatever you do.
I wouldn't even think twice, I don't think.
Me neither.
I don't know about that. Anyway, we've heard lots of stories about the dogs, so I get that these are major factors in your moose hunting experience. So, Mike, you've got lots of experience, like Tony, in training dogs. You've even written a few articles on the subject. Let's start from the beginning, Mike, about pups and stuff. If you're looking for a new pup, what are you looking for?
Generally, like, it's... You know, you got to take in this. It all depends on what your wants are, really. If you just want a rabbit dog for, you know, to get in the woods to enjoy it, pretty much all of them will bring a rabbit around to you, and you'll enjoy it. If you're starting to get a little bit more particular and you get into it, and Tony understands that side of it, where you want dogs with certain characteristics, like you'll hear people talk about big nose, tight mouth, you know, good speed, height, all this stuff. So generally for me, I'm looking at, you know, the parents of the dog, so the dame and the sire, we'll say, you know, if you're talking bloodline. Ideally, you'd want to see them run. See the male and the female that the litter is coming off of. You want to see them run to see how they run. And that's not to say that, you know, if this dog does that and this one does that, the pups are going to do this. It's not as cut and dry as that, unfortunately. You're not, you know, it's not a mold that the pups come out of. But if you can look at, you know, the parents of the litter, to see how they handle, to see how they run, how they hold line, and stuff like this. Especially that, even because realistically on the island, you got two types of beagles, really. You got trawl dogs and you got gun dogs.
Yes.
Local breed. So trawl dogs, you'll get papers. It's CKC registered or AKC registered for coming to the States. You know, the bloodline will be documented back 8-10 years probably, mm-hmm. or 8-10 generations.
Generations, okay.
So, I don't run trawls. Nothing against trawls. I just don't have time in the amount of hobbies I got now.
By trawls, you mean like the
actual trialing dogs? So it's a specific area. Your dogs have to be CKC registered. You have to be members of the CKC. You compete in trials. It's judged. There's ribbons, awards given out to the dog that, and I don't even know the ins and outs of all of it, because I'm afraid to learn the ins and outs of it, because I'm afraid it's something else I'll pick up. So, last thing I need is a set of dogs for trials and a set of dogs for hunting, and then a mix match of the two. But for me, I basically just go with local dogs.
Right, and dogs. So like with the trial dogs, like I guess it's sort of you can go after exactly what you want. You know, if you don't know the sire and the dame, you know, you can still kind of say I want this or that. Hey,
trial dogs gives you a lot more advantage to see how far back, what blood is in that dog.
Okay.
And that's usually the term you'll hear tell them, what blood is he off of or she off of.
Okay.
So trawl dogs, they'll come with a piece of paper or a paper dog, right? They'll come with paper.
Yeah, and they'll run up to like 15, 20 dogs the one time.
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll pick out the best dog.
That's in the trials, you mean, yeah.
Just holding the trail better, you know. But like Mike was saying about when you're getting a dog, another thing about a dog too, like some of the beagles are, we call them tight to the rabbit. Other dogs will bark back. Like we call back, like the rabbit got a good lead on them, mm-hmm. and they're still barking.
Okay.
So it'll give you an indication of where the rabbit is going to come. Like Carter's younger dog, Sally, she's 2.5, but she's a little tighter.
She
got to be closer to the rabbit to bark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in the woods with my buddy's dog, he's barked a lot, but the rabbit was way ahead. Sally wasn't barking. When Sally would bark, I knew that, okay, the rabbit is closer because he's catching up to it. Now, Sally's hotter scented.
Right. And I guess ideally, it's nice to have that mix, hey?
It is. I prefer a dog that will bark behind a little. you know, a bit more. Like, and then you got an indication, because if the rabbit is way ahead, you can still be looking for him, and you know what direction he's coming. Now, when Sally cuts in, okay, well, look, I got to have the gun up, because he's a bit closer. He's going to pop out any time. But it's not as exciting when I got those two dogs together. Like, he's barking all the time, slower, but Sally caught in, and it kind of gets dejected that Sally's not barking as much. So I like to see Sally bark a lot too.
Encourage each other. Kind
yeah,
of
thing, I like I said, I like a dog that's behind a little bit.
Yeah.
And not so tight on the rabbit.
And generally, too, with younger dogs, they're generally always a little bit tighter anyway. So, like, when it comes down to them being tighter or further back, like, generally it's hot-scented or cold-scented.
Yeah.
So if you hear somebody talk about a dog being hot-scented, usually they got to be closer to the rabbit. The scent is fresher, it's hotter. I'm a little bit different, Tony. I like a hotter scented dog, usually because a lot of times when I'm hunting, where I work rotation, I'm hunting in the weekdays. Most of my buddies are working. So in by myself, I find the tighter the dog is to the rabbit, it just makes it easier for me in the woods when I'm by myself. Now, on the flip side of the coin, it'd be nice to have a dog that's a little bit looser as well when it comes to hunting on snow. Because on snow, it's a different beast altogether. It's depending on if you've got a frosty morning, the scent doesn't stay hot as long. So if you got a dog, that's where you get into hearing a bigger nose or a smaller nose. If you got a dog with a bigger nose, they're generally a little bit colder scented. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is how mouthy they are. You don't want a dog that's just running around all over the neighborhood barking.
Right.
Picking up a bit of scent here, and then it drops it, goes over here, picks up another bit. To me, if I'm looking for a pup, that's two things I don't like, is barking all over the place and backtracking. Mm-hmm. So backtracking meaning the dog comes around a full circle, say it comes clockwise from 12 o'clock back to 12 o'clock, and I shoot it at 12 o'clock, and then the dog goes from 12 o'clock counterclockwise back to 12 o'clock counting, mm-hmm. or barking.
Yeah, backwards, yeah.
That I can't handle that. That drives me nuts.
So what do you do to kind of fix those things when you're training a dog?
Like, you can't. Like, you can try, and I've heard of like various things you can do, but generally, if a lot of times, like, it's hard to mold a beagle, because mm-hmm. the beagle is what it is. Like, his nose driven, it's like their brain turns off and their nose takes over and it just goes. So for me, like, to go back what you were asking about pups, like, when I went for the youngest one I have now, when I went and picked him up, there was a litter of six. All of them were on the ground. They're all, like, you know, they're all 8 weeks old at the time. So they were done. They were weaned off. They were eating solid foods. And, you know, they're just waiting on their first vaccination. So what I do is I look to see which pup is smelling what, or if there's one pup that's doing nothing but following the other pups around, or if there's one that's kind of off by himself sniffing this, sniffing a piece of wood, sniffing someone's shoe. And then what I'll do is I'll take them in my hand and flip them upside down and see which one of them is feisty. Because mm-hmm. they'll try and basically worm and squirm to get away from you. So I want to see which one's got that
drive.
Yeah.
Right.
Then when it comes, you know, okay, so you get your pup. And I mean, I don't know, Tony, like, is this something you're seeing more of, or is it just me thinking it? It seems like people are breaking dogs a lot younger, like, nowadays. Or either that, it's just I've missed it. Like,
no, I got to agree with
through.
You.
So
what do you mean by breaking a dog for people who aren't evident?
So breaking a dog, basically, from the time you get a pup, that dog is just going to do what, no different than a child. It's going to pick and poke and try and figure stuff out, chew up your socks and whatever. And then eventually, after you start introducing it to rabbit scent or get it in the woods or whatever, then eventually a dog will start barking on rabbit and following that scent lead, mm-hmm. and circle and chase the rabbit in a path. So for me, like, with my younger dog, and I've done it this way because my older dog, I kind of made the mistake of not doing it, and it was simply because of the way my work schedule was. It didn't allow me to have as much time with the older dog to work on certain things. So the younger dog, my younger dog actually is in the house. It's not even
in a kennel.
No, he just comes in the house. He's contained.
Do you think that changes his temperament as a hunter at all, his drive? Or
I think it makes him easier to handle.
Yeah.
Because he's used to being around me so much. Like, I go in with this one, I can actually call him off of a rabbit, mm-hmm. which is... First, I thought, I was like, this is going to be terrible because he's just going to leave rabbits. But he's not. Like, I mean, no, you got to work at it. you got to call on him and call on him, but he will come off eventually.
Yeah. So my dog is the same. I got two in the house now, and they're the same way. But like you were saying, back in the day, 6-7 months old, my dog had first trained. We got him now, 4 months old, and Rom's bringing a rabbit around you.
Yeah. I think that's a testament to you guys, not to the dogs, eh?
No, I'm the other way. I think it's totally the dogs.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back after these short messages. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and you're listening to The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM will return in a moment.
The VOCM Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Ocean Quest Adventures. Ocean Quest Adventures. Unordinary people experiencing extraordinary adventures. The Outdoor Hour is brought to you by Atlantic Recreation Limited, your platinum five-star Yamaha dealer. Visit Atlantic Recreation Limited, 17 Cory King Drive.
Now let's get back to the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.
And welcome back to the VOCM Outdoor Hour. This hour is just flying by. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan chatting about rabbit hunting here with some experts in the field. I've got Tony and Carter Vinicum, and they're here along with Mike Legg. We've been just talking about dogs in the last segment, and I want to pick up right there where we left off about training your dog. So do you guys run any specific exercises, say, before each season?
Well, generally, like, you know, from the pup to a broken dog phase, just to kind of start at, you know, the bare bones of it, is usually what I do with a pup is find a good magazine, find a good book, go into a cutover, sit on a stump, let the dog go. Eventually, like for the first few times, that dog will only go 80 feet, 75 feet, yeah, and it'll stop every 10 feet looking back at you because it's trusting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the dog's got to get confident enough to know that I can go a little further and a little further and a little further. So usually what I do is I just go in, take a book, magazine, sit on a stump, and let the dog figure himself out and go from there, type of thing. And, you know, obviously you want to bring them somewhere where there's rabbits on. You don't want to take them and, you know, just have them running around for nothing. But once you get your dog, you know, to what we'll call a running dog, like, you know, be able to run rabbits. I mean, generally before the season opens, there's a month where you can start running your dogs, you know. Me, I'll run them a bit, but generally, I mean, August, early September is pretty warm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 23, 24 degrees is a bit hot to run them a lot. So luckily enough for me, down where we have our cabin, there's loads of rabbits around the cabin in the spring of the year eating all the clover and stuff on the lawn. So I just let them run down there, take the tracking collar, put it on them, and then I'll just let him run for an hour or so, just enough to stretch his legs and
build up his nose.
Yeah, just enough to get him thinking about it anyway. But I know me and Tony were talking about it earlier. Now, with tracking collars, like, you can leave after work. If you only got 2 hours of daylight left, you can leave after work and take the dog for a run because
right. You
know exactly where your dog is. I mean, it's modernized. The two biggest things I'd say that's changed rabbit hunting in general is tracking collars and social media. Because
mm-hmm.
one time, if you wanted a dog, you either knew somebody that knew somebody, or you just kept your own litter going with somebody, you know, bringing in new blood here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with social media, I mean, you know, it's no trouble to find. You see somebody on there that's constantly, you know, showing good days and got videos of their dog, and you go, geez, man, that dog had...
And then they have pups.
Well, you go, you know, you look at it and you go, that dog had run real good with mine.
Mm.
Reach out, okay, if you're interested in breeding. I mean,
so do you, I mean, obviously you have your own network of friends who you're hunting with, and you do too, Tony, but like, does it happen ever that people reach out on social media, hey, I'm new to the area, or I'm not from around here, I'd like to go rabbit hunting? Like, does that happen?
I don't know. I don't think you see a lot of, like, that's one thing. I've had people, I know me and you have talked about it, Leslie Ann, mm-hmm. before, is, you know, doing guided hunts
mm-hmm.
with rabbits, but to me, I think I'm too skeptical on it, just because to take somebody in with the dog, especially given my situation where the dog is, you know, essentially my little fella's dog,
mm-hmm.
I got to have a certain amount of trust in the person that's going to be shooting over that dog. Because, you know, for me, like, every time I go in the woods, with no matter if it's guys I hunt with every weekend, we always have the same chat. All right, boys, make sure to, you're not shooting straight at that rabbit. Make sure that rabbit's turning before you fire. Because, like I said, my dog's a bit tight, so mine's usually...
Close behind
him. You don't want to fire a straight shot and have stray bead and anything like that.
Yeah,
so.
No, for sure.
I remember we had a TV show out in Grand Falls somewhere, And they had a contest, and two people won the trip to go rabbit hunting with us at a lodge. And it's a guy, Fudge, I think. He's lodge up that way somewhere. And I was nervous. And it was a father and son team. The son done some hunting, the father didn't. So I kind of had a chat with him, and I got him to come along with me kind of, because I was a little nervous of my dogs. And but it worked out good. But like Mike was saying, like, you know, you just can't take them with anybody. You got to make sure that they know what they're doing, because, and I find a real hard time is when the rabbits turn them white and there's no snow down, and you got like that a lemon and white dog, a lot of white on it, and the white looks like a rabbit, the dog is coming, and then the rabbit is close, the rabbit might stop and then make a dart. And then I've heard it happening, and I'm not going to say it'll never happen to me, because it could. And they've shot the dog.
It's easy enough to happen.
It's hard, especially when it's also a family pet. So you got to be careful with who you take in. And get back to the collars. This day and age now with these collars is amazing. Like, you can track your dog up to almost a kilometer, right?
Right. Yeah, so usually these are the tracking collars. So you have a handheld device, and you track the dog who's wearing, obviously, this GPS collar.
Yeah, so basically it's just time and distance, really, right? So you got a handheld. The dog has basically a radio and transmitter built into the collar. It's, you know, now, I mean, the initial ones were fairly big. But now, you know, they're not much bigger now than, you know, like a couple packs of matches stacked together, really. So, you know, just for something to put it in the frame of reference anyway. But so usually what it is you can set your time on your handheld to how often it communicates with the dog. And it'll constantly update.
Okay.
So, obviously, the more communication you have with the collar, the harder it's going to be on batteries. This is the life we live in. So, usually, like, I keep it to, like, I think mine's on, like, a 45-second or one-minute refresh or something like that. So, you know, it sends out a signal. It goes through, you know, satellite and radio wave and whatnot. And then the collar picks it up, and then the collar sends it back. And that time interval is what determines the distance. And yeah, it's basically pretty similar to based on, you know, GPS that you see the surveyors with the city going around using. Similar system like that, right?
Right.
Now, I remember one time we were in Northern Pan, and the dog, it said, Treed Quarry, and it showed that the dog wasn't moving, what we thought.
Yeah, yeah.
But the collar come off, didn't it?
Yeah, it did,
So what do we do?
We went and got it. We followed it on GPS to go get it.
Kept going with the GPS. So we got about, I don't know, 30 feet on the machine. And I was there. The dog's not here. We thought it was caught in a snare or something, right? He said, Pop, there's a collar on the ground.
Oh, no.
And I just picked the collar up, put it back on the dog when we got her. And, you know, and also another thing, too, with these snares, fox snares.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of the boys, their dogs this year have been saved by that GPS.
So what do you mean they've been saved from the fox snares?
Well, they look at two of the dogs are still running. One dog has stopped. He's not moving. Okay. He's not going over. And they knew right away there's something wrong. So they, as you get close to the dog, your yardage goes down, right?
Sure.
And they went over, and the dog had just caught by this fox snare. And without that GPS, the dog would have probably died, right?
Yeah. And I guess the more positive side of them is they're great for cheating.
Cutting off the rabbit.
Great. Because I'll be in with buddies of mine. Of course, I got the handheld, so I know where the dog is going.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll take off and circle down around the boys and go up and cut off the rabbit. And
bang. Pop. And you're getting all the rabbits.
So, of course, well, no, not all of them, but you get a stubborn one here and there. And, of course, then next to your buddies are telling you you're using the cheater box.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I've had the boys tell me the dog looks like he's going working for NASA to everything, right?
But they're just jealous, that's all. They got the bill on their
collar. But, you know, like, at the end of the day, the best, like, you know, when it comes to all that stuff, all the technology and stuff like that, the best thing you can do for anybody that's getting a new dog or getting into it is get as many rabbit tracks under that dog's nose as possible.
It's experience.
Well, just get it sent under his nose and in so many different conditions as you can get them in.
Right.
You got to put the time into them.
Yeah.
Every opportunity you got to take that pup in, you got to do it. And when you get it trained, another good idea is to keep it by itself. Shoot a few rabbits over it before you
pair him up
with the other dogs. Because then he's going to be independent.
He'll do his, confident.
He'll do his own thing, and he won't be chasing the other dog like a train. all the dogs chase one another, like a pack of dogs.
Because the idea is to get them to both range and.
Well, you got three dogs hunting in different areas, you got a better chance to get a rabbit going, you know. But now if you take them in with, if I breed Sally now and take her pup in with her, well, she's going to chase Sally all day long everywhere. Mm-hmm. If I do, but if she does it herself, no Sally around, well, she's going to look for her own rabbit, and I'll have two dogs that are hunting instead of one.
Right, yeah. So earlier we talked a little bit about my favorite part of hunting and fishing trips, and that's boiling up. I've been out a couple of times with Mike. The first time we went out, I couldn't believe it. He never even boiled a kettle.
No, I think I gave you a bag of Doritos.
Yeah, I was disgusted. I was absolutely flabbergasted. I don't think my family ever goes into woods without boiling a cup of tea, but it was okay because he redeemed himself the next time I made him boil the kettle. How about you guys, Carter? I bet you don't go out very often without boiling up, do you?
Not very often, but this year we never did it a lot. Like, right. We only did it a couple times, but usually we just take a bottle of water, a little lunch, and then... Goes on.
Yeah. Granola bar like Mike or something.
Well, we got one buddy in the group, Todd Snow. He's a avid boiler upper.
That's it, boy.
He's got it in the bag. He don't care. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, boys, you can go shoot the rabbits. I'll put the kettle on. And, you know, we're here at the fire and the kettle, and the dogs getting closer. We're all grabbing guns and running away from the kettle. He's there, you know, keeping everything going.
But I think I'm a great hunting buddy because I would do that. I would definitely boil up and everybody can go on about their business.
And he loves that.
Everything else I think I boil up. Like salmon fishing, I'll boil up. Like it might be in the morning, it might be in the afternoon, whatever. Trouting, same thing. Moose hunting, usually, because moose hunting, I mean, middle of the day anyway, is you got a bit of lull. So it's a good time to have a boil up and perhaps sneak a nap.
Yeah.
But rabbit hunting, very, very rarely do I boil the kettle rabbit hunting.
Yeah,
I
same
was
with
so
me.
Sad. So, Tony, what about you? If you are boiling up, what is your go-to in your leany bag?
We'll usually cook up some moose sausages, put them on the fire, and we'll have a cup of tea with that. And everybody will bring a little bit of something. You know, my buddy will probably bring a can of moose, or it's usually moose or rabbit. I'll make some rabbit sausages. They're really nice, too. Mm-hmm. And that's about it, though.
Right, yeah. My dad does the salt fish all the time.
Yeah, I got to go with the salt fish and tinfoil.
Yeah, it's so good.
Bit of butter and onions.
That's so good. I'm getting hungry now. Anyway, guys, I'll let you go. We'll get back to the woods. It has been a great chat. We could certainly talk all day about rabbit hunting. Thank you so much to my guests, Tony Vinicum, Carter Vinicum, and Mike Legg. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and you've been listening to The Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.